This is Diamonds in the Desert. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm. It's hard to believe that we're heading in to the month of September, the last month of the regular season. Getting into a tough stretch here for the Diamondbacks. They've got the Giants 3 games on the road at AT&T Park, which they've been playing okay at AT&T Park here in 2018. Then they head down to LA to take on the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium for 3 games to start out the month of September. And we're getting into, like I said, that rough stretch. They're going to have 2 games against the Padres at home and then the Braves at home. Then you've got the Rockies and the Astros on the road and the Cubs at home. Then the Rockies come home and the Dodgers come home to finish out the month for the most part. So
a lot of teams in contention.
Yes, it's not going to be easy here. Let's talk about first, obviously, this week that's coming up with the Giants and the Dodgers. California road trip here. Giants are about 8 games back in the NL West, but this is going to be an important series to set the tone for this Dodgers series.
And when you go up to AT&T Park, it's never easy, especially just late in the year. The Giants are out of it, but Madison Bumgarner's been pitching really well. Rodriguez has been pitching incredibly well. He's coming off of the disabled list. They see both of them. Chris Stratton, also a solid pitcher.
They will be missing Buster Posey, who's undergoing hip surgery.
Yeah, he's out for the year now, which kind of could be a telling sign that the Giants maybe are saying, like, okay, we're now officially out of this thing. But you're
which is
facing,
odd because it's an even year. Just going to put that out there.
Exactly. But 3 really good pitchers. Game 2, you have Buchholz against Bumgarner.
That'll be good.
A, at the start of the year, who would have thought that that A would be a matchup? 2 would be a really good matchup.
Yeah. Considering he came in May, definitely couldn't have predicted that.
Yeah, and just the way he's been pitching, 7-2, just, you know, ERA right around 2. So it's they're getting the good part of the Giants rotation, so that makes things a little bit tougher as well. As of late, they've done a pretty good job of putting up a decent amount of runs. But I think kind of the sense in the clubhouse is they feel like everything hasn't quite clicked for them this year.
The
pitching staff is right on point. The bullpen's been right on point. The offense is putting up 6 or 7 runs a game.
It's just a matter of all that clicking at the same time.
It's usually been like 1 or 2 of those factors really going in, and they've still been able to have the record that they have right now and in first place. So, this is the grueling time, and not every game's important in September, but when every game is against the Dodgers, the Rockies,
the Astros, the Cubs,
the Braves, the Cubs. That adds a little more oomph to it. So going to be certainly an interesting last month of the regular season.
So the Diamondbacks are 7-9 versus the Giants this season. They're 3-3 at AT&T Park. Goldschmidt is hitting .382 with 7 doubles, 4 home runs, and 10 RBI versus the Giants here in 2018. David Peralta is batting at .322. So Goldschmidt's always on at AT&T Park.
And he's always murdered the Giants. Back to the Tim Lincecum days. Like, I don't remember the exact split, but it's like Goldschmidt has like 7 home runs and like 13 at bats or something like that against Tim Lincecum. So for as long as I can remember, he's just done exceptionally well against the Giants, but that's also kind of the standard for him around the league.
So Patrick Corbin's going to be starting out this road trip on the bump this first game in San Francisco. What you spoke with him this past weekend, just kind of his performance as of late. What did he tell you there?
Well, the one thing we focused on was his ability to keep the ball in the ballpark this year. Specifically, since June 1st, he's given up 1 home run as it stands right now. So that's incredible. That's almost 3 months of worth of baseball. You know, he has this will be his last start of August. And then he starts September 1st. So if he doesn't give up one tonight, that's 3 months where he's given up 1 home run, and that's obviously a huge factor as to why he has about a run better ERA and is having a career year. And, you know, it seems like with Patrick Corbin, I always kind of compare this season to his 2013 season, where he was an all-star as well. He's been better, you know, and I think that's to be expected as he's approaching, I think it's fair to say, the prime of his career as he's entering his late 20s and, you know, has been with the team, the big league team, for a long time now. But that's kind of the thing that we focused on. And, you know, the one thing that he mentioned was his ability to, you know, throw the slider for strikes. And then since he can throw it for a strike, he can then kind of stretch that strike zone a little bit,
yeah,
get guys to chase outside of the zone. And that's one thing that he's been able to do when Zach Godley's on. He's doing that all the time, as is Robbie Ray. We haven't seen it as much out of Godley and Ray. We've seen it out of Godley for stretches. But last year, that's what made those two so successful, and Patrick Corbin. The thing is, Pat is just able to set that up with the slider for a strike, usually early in the count, and then he's able to get guys to chase.
So Corbin will start on Monday, and then it'll be Buchholz on Tuesday and Godley on Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about Zach Godley here now. Throwing arrow on Friday night that he said was not attributable to the way the rest of the inning panned out. He said he felt he pitched well besides that third inning. Worked on some throwing stuff on Sunday, just throwing the bases, getting that figured out. I know Torey Lovello dealt with that a little bit with John Lester in Boston. So got that experience. What with Zach Godley are we keeping an eye on here in this last month?
You know, looking at his splits, I've noticed he's giving up more fly balls as of late. You know, they're fly ball.
He did talk about that post game.
They're fly ball outs, but this is a sinker pitcher. He usually thrives on the strikeout and on ground balls. But he had double digit fly balls in three of his last four starts. Now, in two of those, he pitched incredibly well and just went deep into the ball game. So it just might be a matter of facing more batters. But in this last start, where he only went five innings, gave up five earned runs and a home run, he gave up 11 fly balls. Like, that's 11 fly balls in 22 batters faced. So that, and look, the Mariners are a good lineup. Like, they're gonna get the ball in the air. You know, when you have a guy with the nickname Boomstick in the middle of your lineup, like, yeah, they're going to try to put the ball out of the ballpark. So that's one thing I would just keep an eye on, is just the ground ball to fly ball ratio. Yeah. And, you know, it's another thing where we saw this really good stretch out of him, you know, end of July up until mid-August,
yeah,
where he was really good, and that's where he was keeping his pitch count down. I think clubs are doing a good job of making him work, so his pitch count gets up all of a sudden, and it's the fifth, sixth inning, and he's already at 90 pitches. So that's another thing to just keep an eye out. The Giants like to grind out at bats. They don't have a ton of power hitters. Even, you know, Buster Posey isn't necessarily a power hitter, but even with him out of the lineup, that's another potential just for a guy who just wants to work the count, get that pitch count up, and try to get to the bullpen.
No days off here in this stretch with these six games between the Giants and the Dodgers. Robbie Ray will be on the bump on Thursday to start out that series against the Dodgers. Saturday's start was okay. Not what we were expecting out of Robbie Ray this season after coming off the DL. He has struggled a little bit. Setting the tone there, though, how important is it going to be for Robbie Ray to come out of the gate in this first game?
You know, I think that there was a lot to build off of with that start that he had against Seattle. They lost the game, but he gave up one run in five innings.
I mean, it ended up being the bullpen's undoing in a way.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at all of his starts since July 25th, and the most he's gone is 5 1/3 innings. And this is something we've talked about quite a few times, is you brought in these other bullpen arms to try to shorten the game for a guy like Robbie Ray, who, you know, probably has enough in the tank to go deeper, but just hasn't been going deeper. But he was getting a lot of guys, again, a tough team. He was getting a lot of guys to miss. He had 7 strikeouts in 5 innings. You know, the walks are a concern. It seems like the walks have been up this year for him. Mm-hmm. 4 walks in 5 innings and 5 hits. But that means a lot of guys are getting on base, but one of them scored. That was it. So he's doing, I think, a better job with runners on base. So I think there's something definitely to build upon there. You're going to AT&T Park, where it is a pitcher's ballpark. So that could help you out a little bit. It's just going to be a matter of this is going to be a team that's going to be fine with taking walks.
Right.
So, you know, he's just got to get the ball over the plate. And I think that he can, you know, really put something nice together.
Zach Greinke on Sunday was pretty good. We talked about him some this season, how he's just really settled in and had a decent season. Let's look at the bullpen now. We've talked about this a little bit too, with just things haven't been clicking exactly as they've been wanting to. We talked last week about how Torey Lovello may be shortening his starter's leash a little bit and going to the bullpen earlier.
Right.
Jake Diekman didn't have a great day on Saturday against Seattle. Brad Boxberger blew the save there, came back out on Sunday and bounced back. When you have guys like Brad Boxberger that can come in and bounce back after a not so great outing, you think it sets the tone for the rest of the bullpen that they're still in this and it's not to count on.
Yeah, and even, you know, I'll take the listeners behind the curtain. In pre-show, I was mentioning that Yoshi Hirano was struggling, and then I looked at his splits, and last five or six games he hasn't given up a run. He was in a setup where he gave up quite a few hits in Sunday's game, and Boxberger was able to come in. You know, they made it a closer game than it should have been, because they were cruising 5-1 for most of that game, and then, you know, all of a sudden it gets 5-2, bases loaded, Boxberger comes in and bounces back really nicely.
Got close there.
And I think part of it is also we've kind of been preconditioned of, in the first half it was, you get to the sixth inning with the lead for the Diamondbacks, you're more than likely going to get
Bradley,
the win.
Hirano,
yeah,
Boxer,
you're
yeah.
more than likely going to get the win. You know, you look at Hirano's numbers, he has an ERA just above 2. You know, Boxberger has converted 29 of 35 saves. Archie Bradley, while he struggled lately, has been pretty darn good this year again. So that big three is still pitching really well. And now it's just a matter of, you know, having these other guys kind of come into the fold. I think Brad Ziegler has been pretty good. Diekman's still kind of finding his way. Andrees is still kind of finding his way. We're still a month removed from them coming onto the team. So while I think, you know, people need to give him a little bit more of a leash, it's also crunch time. Like you that can't be an excuse anymore. So the bullpen certainly is going to have to step up, especially in these playoff stretch games. They can get funky where guys get out and, you know, they may not have the luxury where Brad Boxberger is going to have 5 days off of rest coming up. It may just be back to back to back, and the guys are going to have rubber arms. So, you know, rosters are about to expand. So you probably will get a couple more arms to work with, but we're going to need to see some improvement out of that bullpen that has still been very good this year.
Something Torey Lovello said post game on Sunday after the series finale against Seattle. He was asked about if around this time of year there's a certain pressure with closers coming in. And he said, this is a quote from Lovello, "I don't want the pressure or the distraction of any situation to overcome what these guys need to do. Pitch by pitch, moment by moment, that's what we focus on, and that's what we talk about here," end quote there. So I think he's not concerned about these closers.
Yeah.
He talked about how Brad Boxberger bounced back from that save. Don't think there's anything to be concerned about here with
that.
And we've talked about that before, and we've always said there's not. It's just this last stretch of the season, everyone's a little bit like...
They haven't looked as bulletproof as they have in the past. And, you know, every single game is going to be put under a microscope even more now that we're in the last week of the season, or last month of the season, now that there are three teams in a race where you're probably going to escape with one, maybe two going to the playoffs. So the microscope is under the bullpen a little bit, I feel like, and but they have been, I think, the strength of this team.
Three games against the Giants at AT&T Park, and then three games against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. It's the start of what's going to be a tough stretch here in the last month of the season, or the regular season, for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thanks for listening in to the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. We'll see you next time.